today is the Lord's Day, so we don't put your attention on me, but on the Lord. And really, the word of God needs to touch the person's heart. Then how do people obey the Lord? And then that's how the churches are built up. Today, we continue in the book of Acts. Let me just do a quick recap. A few times, we saw that how when Stephen is on trial, the defense that he brought up, so you talk about how God revealed himself to Abraham, and then after that, how he was with Joseph. Because they have been elected by God before the commandments were given. Because they were saved not because they obeyed the law, but because they believed the Messiah that is to come. So we know that there was a 400 years of waiting period, such that the family of Jacob, so that they become a nation. In these 400 years, when they were in Egypt, there was a waiting period so that Jacob as a family became a nation. And when a new king, and then he oppressed the Israelites, and then tried to kill their male boys. This is a policy. It's a policy to destroy. It's a genocide, ethnic genocide, where they want to kill the male babies. The women will have to marry the Egyptian. So the work of Satan is to destroy the people. It's the holy nation that God has caught. So in today's context, Satan is not afraid of the grand church, or there will be many people. So what is there? But if all their thinking is about humanism, is more secular thinking, but if they are just satisfied to be Sunday Christians, how can their life affect others? So Israel, so very quickly, God's people will lose the desire to set apart. So when you look at them, the new Pharaoh, and then he oppressed them. So a new Pharaoh rose up and oppressed the Israelites. And then they have come to the end, and of course they cry out to the Lord. And of course, God gave them someone to save. So who is Moses? Moses is actually the greatest prophet in the eyes of the Jews. So the Bible tells us there's no other prophet like Moses. He's the one who has given them the true God. God gave him the Ten Commandments so that they can. And in David's time, so that's where they have the Tent of Meeting. And so he brought about the most core work of the temple. Who is Moses? So when we read this, Stephen, and when he, in his defense, why did he want to mention Moses? Because because he said that he has gone against the law teachings of Moses. So in the defense and the preaching of Stephen, he talked about, he spent a lot of time talking about Moses. So however great he is, he's just a prefiguration of Christ. So Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses. He is a faithful servant of the house. How can he be greater than the builder of the house? The one who builds the house is bigger, greater than the house itself. So it talks about three stages in Moses' life. So he has three period phases in his life. The first 40 years, he grew up in Egypt. He grew up in Egypt until he fled. And then he lived in the wilderness of Midian for 40 years. And then he encountered God. Then that's another 40 years. The last stage of 40 years, he was caught by God. He returned to Egypt and then saved the Israelites, the led Israelites out of Egypt. More accurately, 38 years to lead the Israelites in the wilderness. So let's look at the first 40 years. Let me give you a very important concept. A person's condition, no matter how great he is, if he is not born again, he was not able to be used by God. If we are not first called by God to be set apart vessel, we will never be used by God. Born again, who is the one who regenerate us and call us? Who is that? It's God. Some people. So is it regeneration and call? Is it the same? I'm waiting for God to call me to be a pastor. It is the preacher. It's the full-time ministry calling. But I'm telling you, actually, when you are born again, you are called. So God has called you out of darkness, out of the world, into the eternal kingdom. At the same time, there is this calling, the holy calling. So you cannot live for yourself any longer, but you have to live for God. So born again, it has the meaning of the regeneration has the meaning of calling. Who is the one who called and who is the one who regenerates? So Jesus is definitely greater than Moses. Although Moses is great, but he is a mortal. He is an ordinary person. He is a person of flesh. If he's not set apart, God cannot use him. So do you know what is set apart? Set apart to be holy. We must be vessels like this. So sometimes you have many knives in the. Some you chop, cut off plants. Maybe parang. Can you use that to cut your meat? You will not use that. Sometimes you use it to cut raw meat.
Mm-hmm.
Would you use the knife that you use when you are eating your steak? Even they are all knives, cutting instruments, but they are not different. They have been differentiated. We have a lot of things we use in the house is set apart. You have many cloth, right? Or those, you know, those that you use to wipe the toilet. Do you use it to clean your dining table? You will not use that. Every time I wipe the floor, then I wipe the dining table. So why? Because the cloth it's also differentiated in that way. God has set us apart, called us out of the world, so that He will use us. No matter what kind of education, no matter what cloth, I can be used by God. Actually, if you think about it, why is it that God has not used you? Because your heart is not set apart. This is a very important concept. So in the church, there's no such... there's talent. If you have talent, this is a wrong thinking. That God only used those with talent and with riches. So let's read Acts chapter 7. At that time, Moses was born, and he was no ordinary child. When he was placed outside, he was no ordinary child. It means unusual. What is in the Hebrew? It means T-O-W-B. Tuab. The word Hebrew word tuab means when in Genesis, when God has created and He saw everything was good.
God sees everything as tuab, good.
Actually, it's the word, same word that when. It's the same word when. So he's not his handsome, he's not his pretty boy, but he is fair in the sight of God. And it's different from the rest of the other things. Many people like to see this as from a physical level. But actually, even though he is not born again, even though he has not known God, God knew him. There is this meaning of being elected. God has set, He is a prophet set apart. The Moses that they most respected, so he is actually is a prefiguration of Jesus. Verse 21. When he was placed outside, Pharaoh's daughter took him and brought him up as her own son. Moses was educated in all the wisdom of Egyptians and was powerful in speech, action. When the disciples at the Emmaus, so they did not spend the Lord. Spoke to them. There was a prophet, and then Jesus of Nazareth, and then he was powerful in speech and action. This is the same words. A lot of the conditions of Moses is actually prepared by God. So when Jesus was born, there was also the King Herod trying to kill all the male boys. And then he's powerful in speech and action. He's the Old Testament prophet that is a prefiguration of Christ in the Old Testament. It is for them to know. And then he is the one who has been sent to save Israel. But Moses is still a person. Then he talks about, but then we let's look at Moses' failures. Verse 23. When Moses was 40 years old, he decided to visit his own people, the Israelites. He has matured. He's the peak of his full of wisdom. He saw one of them being mistreated by Egyptian. So he went to his defense and avenged him by killing the Egyptian. Moses thought that his own people would realize God was using him to rescue them, but they did not. The next day, Moses came upon two Israelites who were fighting. He tried to reconcile them. Men, you are brothers. Why do you want to hurt each other? But the man who was mistreating the other pushed Moses aside and said, "Who made you ruler and judge over us? Are you thinking of killing me as you killed the Egyptian yesterday?" So after this, yes, actually many people knew that he has killed the Egyptian. Verse 27, when Moses heard this, he fled to Midian, where he settled as a foreigner and had two sons. Here, there are two emphases today. So Israelites rejected Moses, just like how the Jews rejected Jesus. It's not that Jews rejected Jesus, not because they are immoral or they are not wise enough. In Romans, God said this, the God's wrath is revealed. It's revealed to everyone. Men rejected God because they do not want to accept. They want to reject. They want to suppress the truth. When people reject God, because in their nature, because they are rebellious, they rebel against God. Many people do not believe the Bible, do not believe the eternal God, eternal life. They do not believe the God who created the universe, because they are evil, cruel, they murder, rape, kill, rob. No, it's not that. Many people who reject God today, in human level, they are very kind, they are very compassionate, respectful, very helpful. But they have a heart that wants to, any time the truth, when it talks about, they cannot accept it. It infringes on their preferences. What Bible tells us about God's sovereignty limits our freedom, then they cannot accept it. I don't believe this. If the values that we want, then we do not accept. It's not because we are a bad person. Because they are
rebel. He
is a rebellious person. Now they reject Moses as their deliverer. Why? They are not willing, do not want Moses to intervene in their matters. So this is how Israelites rejected Moses. It's like how the Jews rejected Jesus. The second failure that he has is his man-driven ways and his failures. Everyone, we like to exhort men. Why the first 40 years? In this 40 years, why did Bible record this for first 40 years? It also showcases his wisdom, his knowledge, his capability. But it also talks about all this flesh. He's not like he's violent, but he belongs to the flesh. If this person, he does not have the Spirit of God, the God has not used it, he cannot be used by God. He definitely has a desire to save his people, but before he was called, he is full of passion, and then he has this nationalistic fervor. Once the Egyptian is bullying the Hebrews, the Israelites, that he killed his, is this God's way? Not, definitely not. Why did he use this way? Because Moses did not know his people. It's not. It is not the problem of the people. They are not slaves to Egypt, but they are slaves to sin. Because they are slaves to sins, if our sins are not soft, slave to sins, all these things, we are all slaves to sins. Why is our situation? Why are there all these things so pathetic? We are very helpless because we are in bondages by sin. I want to set them free. I won't use my own way. Use my capability. No. Not just that they need to be led out of Egypt. Their sin. How do we deal with their sin? How do they can surrender themselves to God? This is nationalism. If you are patriotic, you love the people, but you cannot save them. So what you truly love is the gospel of God. So that you can save God's people. This is number one. Moses. So Egyptian bully the Israelites. They murder him. Now next day, the two Israelites were fighting each other. They want to kill each other. So Moses tried to be a peacemaker. Hey, why do you want to their brothers? Why do you fight each other? You two are brothers. Why do you fight each other? It's not that. It's not like you are the same race. You can be harmonious. It's not that they are different people, because everybody is self-centered. They are always looking about gains and loss. So we are the same color, same race. But even though we have the same race, but my interest is being compromised. When you take away what I want, immediately quarrels will come. This is the problem of sin. We must understand. It's not just a. This is not something this race in sin, they cannot really be harmonious. So, of course, there's a lot of tension in the Taiwan Straits. Those people who saw the Speaker of the House visited Taiwan, and then, of course, it provoked China. China kept warning them. The Speaker still went. So they are in six places around Taiwan. They are having live military action. I'm praying for the church in Taiwan. Only the church in Taiwan, the prayer of them can protect Taiwan. Why do I say this? Many years when I visited Taiwan, I met an Air Force officer who is retired. So I asked him, will one day China invade Taiwan? Then this retired officer said you must know. We are the same people. So if there's blood who is shed, then since we are the same people, of course, Chinese cares about relationship. So after this, when I see this tension between China and Taiwan, I see rising the tension. I have another thought. Actually, of course, they are the same people. But one day, when the interest is being threatened, it's very hard to say. It's really the Taiwan church, the saints in Taiwan. How do they fear God? How do they hate the culture that offends God? And then they reject the values that offends God. And then you stand firm their position, restore the word of God. Then only then the disasters. No matter how powerful they are in this world, in the Lord's hand, the king's heart is like a stream of water that he channels towards all who please him. So actually, God is sovereign over all these things. This China, no matter how powerful they are, but in their hearts, they are just like streams of water in the Lord's hands. So God can cause them not to wage war. this is in God's hand. It's not the what the reporter analyzed for you. No matter how you analyze, you cannot. So what happened next, nobody knows. Why did sometimes he restrains the king's heart, and it all hinges on the prayer of the church. If the churches in Taiwan, they know this, they know how to pray. It's not just asking God not to give them war, but in these disasters, the hearts of men needs to turn to God. We need to repent of our sins and of our rebellion against God, and then reject everything that does not belong to God, everything that twisted the gospel, and then turn to God, and then live in godly lives. The whole situation will change. So the mercy, the God's hand of mercy will be upon God's people. I have a lot of people talk about the political analysis. Actually, if they do not analyze it based on the Bible, then it's all pointless. This king rise up, then the next one he will fall. This is all in God's hands. Because we're talking about nationalism. No matter what Moses did, or he tried to persuade them, he cannot reconcile people. Why do they not reject? Verse 28. Do you want to kill me like how you murdered the... Here you emphasize, so even no one is perfect, no, you cannot save us. That's a very important thing. You cannot use a sin to turn a person to God. Because I help this person, I lie this person to help this person, so that I give thanks. I sacrifice for you. Sometimes you are foolish in that way. Do not think that you can sin, you can help, can cause people to turn to God. This is a principle. You teach your children, this must teach them properly. Verse 29, when Moses heard this, he fled to Midian, where he settled as a foreigner and had two sons. And then he had two sons. Because he realized that what he did in secret, actually everybody knew. So, man, if you have done things out of your flesh, not out of faith, you will cause fear. The anger cannot fulfill the righteousness of God. Those that you do out of faith, when you encounter trouble, you will be strengthened. Those that you do out of flesh, when you encounter setbacks, you will enter into fear and helplessness. And then he's afraid of punishment from a Pharaoh. So he emphasized the failure of Moses. And then he went and then he married a Gentile and have worse than... He's worse than the... He, he seemed to be worse than the Israelites in Egypt. This is what I'm trying to say. God, the vessel, God, those that God will break them down so that they'll humble them. All your conditions, no matter how good it is, unless you are born again, you cannot be used by God. You break him. He lived in Midian for 40 years. Is it long? It's a very long time. But is there God's plan? Yes, there is. Because in the end, in the last 40 years, is to lead the God's people to walk in the wilderness. We read the last verse. Verse 30. After 40 years, an angel appeared to Moses in the flames of a burning bush in a desert near Mount Sinai. Okay, I said 3 points. First, after 40 years, after when God breaks a person, humble a person, there is a time. There's a time and a method. Some people so hardened, so proud. When will this person will humble? When will this person learn? God has his timing, has his own ways. God flattened him. Then he will surrender to God. Then you'll be amazed how great God is. Many years ago when I was in Penang, a brother, so he was so flattened. So after he joined our church, he has this, do not joke with God's discipline, no matter how hardened you are, you are made of flesh. Don't fight against. Don't fight against the one who created your body, your soul. So sometimes today, if I have less breath, I can't even have strength. This is the weaknesses of man. We are a vessel. How God wants to use us, He will use us. You must know, God wants to break a person down. The time is not too long or too short, but this is the perfect timing. To Moses, 40 years. Why 40 years? Some people ask, why till 40 years? 80 years old. Then he become an old man who is a shepherd. Maybe his eyesight, his, to him, there's no hope. What can I do as an old person? All his ambition and decisiveness is gone. When in his, or even his reputation in Egypt. So nobody, his reputation is gone. He has a great noble condition, but 80 years old, everything, and then his reputation is, everything is gone. God brought him to this, to call, brought him to the state to call him. God revealed himself to Moses. We always remember, it's not that we can find God. We have a determination, we want to come before God. But if not for God's mercy and grace. Nobody can respond to God. It's still the burning bush. God revealed himself through the burning bush. He was amazed. What's this burning bush? The burning bush from Presbyterian Church, the symbol is the burning, it's the light. There's a light. You are the light. It's a refining. This is the So only the Holy God can refine the unclean. So this is the revelation. It's not that you dream. There's this blind spots. You suddenly open your eyes when you hear the word of God. From not understanding, you suddenly understand. Does this harden all these sinful desires? It burns away all of our selfish desires. This is how God set a person apart. It's not just to this. Not just based on miracles. It has nothing to do with your transformation. You must resist them. All these things. These are those that taint the. No matter where I turn in the Bible, after you know God, it's not what many modern churches, this prosperity seeking gospel, is talking about. Those gods are the God in the Bible is holy, is righteous. It transform you inwardly. This is how God reveals. So three things. God has a time to break a person down. God revealed himself to Moses such that the person is enlightened and be refined. So the first stage in Egypt, 40 years, in the 40 years in the wilderness, are they wasted? It's not wasted. All these experiences become these are the knowledge and experience that he will use to when he puts his all life together. All this has meaning. Some people regret, I wasted time in the past. It's not wasted. Because today you are blessed. Today you are enlightened. When you wake up today, spiritually wake up today, God will use all your time in the past. Some people, today, I'm a new person. All the things I learned in the past, all the experiences, don't talk about all these things. I always talk about new grace. It's also not right. Third is, when the grace comes to you, it comes to your whole person. It comes to your whole life. So when he becomes a new person, in that moment he becomes a new person, his whole life is set apart. Let's testify for the Lord. Just like Paul said, he used to persecute the people, but then how much grace he has. So all their conditions are being sanctified, and so that they can be vessels. Even your failures, even your problems, your marriage, even your illnesses, things that people, God can use all of these things to bless and comfort many people. So God bless all of you. In the whole life of Moses, such a glorious person. It's not about how great he is. He is weak, but God is strong. So we summarize. Although Moses is most respected, but actually he's just a prefiguration of the coming Jesus. Moses, even though he in the eyes of the Jews, although he's great, he's just a man. The greater one is already here. And of course, he is Jesus of Nazareth. This is what he is trying to say in this defense. May the Lord bless all of you. Lord, we give you thanks. You have used your word to encourage us so that you can help us to see how small we are and how great you are. God, you use a weak person. You use someone who is seems significant. So even the good conditions that we seem to have, you will break them down. Then we will see that only you are the greatest. You are the one who gives us breath and gives us life on earth so that we can grow up. And we have all kinds of conditions and background. And you are also the one who regenerate us, call us, and use us. It is all you. After we have heard the message today, we want to humble ourselves. Let none of us be proud. Sometimes after we have been a Christian for a long time, so sometimes we may be self-righteous. We may think that we are areas where we have talent and gifts. But Lord, help us to be humble. If not, for you who wants to use us, how can we be used? Help us to be humble. Use everything we have to strengthen the church, to strengthen everyone, to encourage everyone. The more we do, the more we humble ourselves. The more we ask that everything that we do is through your grace. We pray that it will be, you can give us the love for the church. And Lord, we also give thanks that we can partake in the Holy Communion. We pray all this. We thank you. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.